listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That is what it is all about. Hi, Josh. Hi, Sharon. Hi, Maya on Instagram. I'm so glad you're here. If you want to call in and talk with me today, the number is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. It is what's eating at you. Hold on. I'm taking a sip of tea because I have a thing in my throat. Hold on. Okay. Better. All right. So I want to talk about the summer, right? And by the way, if you want to call in, feel free to call in anytime and interrupt me because I can always go back to whatever it is that I'm talking about, which in this case is summertime, pool parties, bathing suits, all of that. Does the phrase pool party make you anxious? Last weekend was 4th of July here in the United States, and that is traditionally sort of the big summer kickoff. And that means barbecues, it means bathing suits, it means pool parties, especially now that we're all opening up after COVID. And I have heard so many people tell me, hey, oh, Josh, hold on one second. I've heard so many people say, hey, there is no way that they would be seen in public in a bathing suit because they failed their diet until then. I'm going to come back to this right now. We have Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Dr. Nina. I just wanted to say that something came up to me today where I was thinking about your show and what you do and how you've helped me. And I was just thinking in terms of sometimes we have a wrong view of what, I guess, psychoanalysis or you do in general. Like, it's not about trying to change a person. Even though it is, I think you know what I mean. It's really not. Like, you're not out there trying to change people, even though you are trying to change people. And I think there's no words to really describe it, but it shouldn't be seen as this, like, threatening force that the psychoanalysts are out to get us. Does that make any sense?
It makes sense, and I actually have a way to describe what it is that I do that I hope you'll appreciate, and everyone listening that they will appreciate, which is that, and I talk about this in my book, The Binge Cure, that Michelangelo was supposedly once asked, how do you turn these great blocks of stone into statues? And anyone who's seen The David, oh my gosh, you know what I'm talking about. How did he do it? He said, I do not turn the stone into statues. I free the statues from the stone. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? That is the way I see my work. I collaborate with people and we chip away at what is keeping them stuck, what is keeping them stuck and trapped in a life or a body that does not feel right, and free them to be their authentic self. We're not there to change people. We're there to free people.
Yeah, and I think I was just going to say really quickly that, you know, some people do change us with a word. You know, someone can say something to you that's very hurtful and you can be changed, you know, but at the same time, that's not really what a psychoanalyst is going to do. The psychoanalyst's work is more over a period of time, not forever, but not immediate, as if someone could just say to you, hey, lose some weight. You know what I mean? And that could change you for better or worse, right? But that's not what a psychoanalyst is going to do. Even though we would love to be changed by a psychoanalyst immediately, she or he is not going to be doing that.
Well, I have a magic wand. Let me look for it here on my. I have a magic wand. Oh, no, here it is. Here's my magic wand, and I have been told that it works just slowly. So change takes time. Change takes work. When it comes to binge eating, emotional eating, you know, it's hard for people to realize that food is not the problem. Food is actually the solution to the problem. And when we can identify what is the real problem, whether it's a difficulty self-soothing, whether it's a difficulty being kind to yourself, being supportive of yourself, then, when you realize what the real problem is, that food is actually resolving, and you find a new way of relating to yourself, then everything changes. And it's super important to realize, like, you don't have a food problem. You've got a problem with the way you talk to yourself, the way you relate to yourself, the way you soothe yourself, the way you comfort yourself. That's the problem. Food is the answer to the problem.
Right. And it's not as if, you know, I don't know. I don't think what you do should ever be seen as scary, but I think that's such an easy trap to fall into, that there's this crazy maniacal psychoanalyst who's going to, like, either expose you in a hurtful way or whatever like that. And it's just that's never the case. And I find myself doubting myself sometimes. So I thought I'd talk to you about it. And I imagine other people could have the same view or not.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting that you say scary, because someone asked me, well, what do you do? This is years ago. And I said, I'm a psychoanalyst. And she goes, ooh, that's scary. And I said, why? And she's like, well, it's like, what do you just, like, have people lie on a couch and say nothing to them? And I said, no, that is not how it works. And people have this image of this cold, stern, you know, analyst who's usually, a man with a beard looking like Freud. And they don't realize that actually contemporary analysis is nothing like what they think. In fact, Freud wasn't even like what they think. And it's very collaborative, and it's very it's emotionally intimate. It's an emotionally intimate relationship in a formal setting. And it's about transformation by finding your authentic true self and looking at what's out of your awareness that's keeping you from having the life that you want. It is a lot easier to focus on what you ate and to focus on what you weigh than to focus on what's eating at you that you may or may not even be aware of, because we have hidden things, you know, in our unconscious, as you know. So that's what's scary to people, because we also live in a society that says, don't feel anything. Don't know yourself. Don't just be happy. Happy, happy, happy. Don't be angry. Don't be depressed. Don't be sad. Don't be anxious. Take a pill, do something. And then we're left with how do we have the ability to be human? And we have to learn how to embrace our humanity. And that includes the range of feelings and thoughts and everything that it is that goes on within, instead of focusing on what we're doing with food or otherwise.
Yeah. And it's not as if it's some hurtful comment that's going to send you on a tailspin that you're not going to be able to forget for 3 months, some insulting, hurtful comment. That never, ever would occur with a psychoanalyst. I know I'm right about that, but I feel like there's always going to be some doubt, because there's always going to be someone out there who might be, you know, who knows what their motivation is, but they could be angry. They could themselves be angry with a psychoanalyst for all sorts of reasons, you know, symptoms of anger.
I want to just share that psychoanalysts are not interchangeable. We all have similar training, but we're all people. And so it's like going to a therapist who's a bad therapist and thinking, well, all therapists are bad. Or going to a good one and thinking all therapists are good. Or, you know, There are no psychoanalysts. There's just an individual psychoanalyst, another individual psychoanalyst, et cetera, or et al. So it sounds like someone said something to you once that was very hurtful.
Well, I that's what I was kind of getting at. I'm not sure how to phrase what I want to say, but I almost want to say that who knows where we pick stuff up. I mean, just watching an advertisement, you know, like a commercial is meant to kind of psychically transform our minds into buying their product or wanting what they want us to want. So I feel like who knows what's floating around in the air, but some of that could be negativity towards what it is that you do, what it is that you actually do. And it would be very difficult for you to just immediately dispel those myths. It would take a bit of a conversation.
Well, you know, thank you, Josh, for wanting to defend psychoanalysis and sort of shed a light on it. And, you know, it's a conversation between two people who are seeking the truth. I call myself a detective of the mind, and I align with my patient to try to solve the mystery of why they're doing what they don't want to do or why they are not doing what they want to do. So detectives aren't judgmental. Detectives are curious. And that's why I'm always urging everyone to be curious, not critical. If you're turning to food, you're turning away from something else. So ask yourself why. So Josh, is there something that's going on specifically with you as opposed to a more broad discussion of psychoanalytic thought or psychoanalyst being misperceived? Is there something going on with you specifically you'd like to address?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just keep it very brief. I mean, unless you have something to say back. I would just say that I'm interested in how you sort of started the program with this sort of, I don't know if it's body shaming, but just an overall lack of sort of feeling good for the way you look. And I definitely think, you know, carrying on from what we talked about last week, that can be from childhood, and it can be a way a parent dealt with us, say a mother or a father. And in that way, we haven't been able to shed this incorrect parental value judgment on who we were as people, how we looked, or who we really are. Because how you know who you are as a child, but maybe one of our parents thought they knew who we were, and we've been living with it ever since, or whatever else. But I'll just leave it brief, and you can comment on that. Sorry. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Yes, absolutely. The way that we learn to treat ourselves the way we are treated. And there's a phrase, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. So wrong. You know, sticks and stones can break your bones and your bones can heal, but words can leave a lasting, terrible pain. And then the words that people say to us are sometimes then the words that we say to ourselves. So many people say, oh, you're not good enough talking about themselves. You're not good enough. You're so stupid. How could you have done that? Why didn't you know that? And then they make themselves feel terrible. And then guess what? You need to escape your own mean voice by going to the pantry or the kitchen or the drive-thru or wherever. And so what is the problem? Is the problem food? No. Food is not the problem. Food is a way of escaping your own mean voice. It's your own mean voice that's the problem. And so much of what I help people with is creating a different way to relate with themselves. Because when you're mean to yourself, you feel bad. When you feel bad, you're going to use food for comfort. When you're nice to yourself, guess what? You feel okay. And you don't need food for comfort. And when you learn how to cope with bad feelings, because, you know, things happen in life. It's not only us making ourselves feel bad. Things happen in life that are disappointing and upsetting and scary and anxiety producing. When we learn how to respond to ourselves differently, which is again what I teach in my book, The Binge Cure, it's one of the steps, then we can relate to ourselves directly and we don't need food for a distraction, for comfort, for relief, or any of those things. So, Josh, I hope that that, you know, clarifies and something to think about, some food for thought. So I want to go back.
Thank you so much.
Okay. You're very welcome. Thanks for calling, as always.
Yep. Talk to you next time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. So let's go back to bathing suits, pool parties. Oh no. Scary. Talk about scary, right? Pool party. So much scarier than the idea of seeing a psychoanalyst, I think. Well, to a lot of people. So this person was saying she failed at her diet. So there's no way she was going to go and show up at this party and be in a bikini in public because she had totally, totally failed at dieting. And if that sounds familiar, you know, here's something to think about. Maybe you're not a failure at dieting. Maybe dieting has failed you. So I really want to explore ideas about success and failure. Oh, caller is on. Hi, caller.
Hi, it's Pamela.
Hi, Pamela. Welcome back to the show. It's been a few weeks, and I want you to know that after you called last time, I got a lot of people who really responded with a lot of love for you and support for you. And so I'm so glad that you are calling back. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I just, you know, Wednesdays are hard because I have a treatment and then I got busy and, you know, it's been hot. So I've been trying to get things done in the morning. So I haven't forgotten.
Call in when you want to and when you can. I am here for you.
Yeah. So, you know, I thought about what you said about writing down things and throwing it away. Well, I have a really bad temper sometimes, and I did a couple of things that I'm not ashamed. I don't despise what I did. I'm just really sad about what I did. You know, the friend that I've had for so long, I just have to get rid of him because he's not going to change and I had to change it. And I mean, you were right that when you confront somebody that all they're going to do is argue with you. And that's what happened. And I need to take care of me because I'm sick. You know, I'm trying to get better, but I'm sad inside because it had to come down to this. So of course, what did I do at night is I ate, you know, I'm trying to like not eat out as much as I used to. I order foods that are prepared that I eat for dinner, try to have food in the house that, you know, are good. So I make lunches, you know, so I'm trying to work on this. So I was very sad for a while. I still am sad because I had to break it up with my friend of so many years. But then I had another blow, my sister that gave me COVID because she didn't know she had it, got mad at me. For whatever reason, she's going through a terrible time at home, and I'm just trying to reach out to her, but she did tell me that she didn't want to talk, which, okay, I understand.
Pam, can I interject? Sounds like what you need for yourself is compassion. That you're talking about, well, first of all, you're struggling with breast cancer treatment, then, right, which is hard enough and painful enough. And you know, you talked about how alone you have felt. And now your friend of many years and your sister, kind of for different reasons, you've had to set boundaries with and let go of that friendship. And the other one seems like she's rejecting you. So you're left with an emptiness. A profound, painful emptiness. And remember, food represents people in our psyche. Right. We don't think of it that way. We're not like, oh, I'm going to like have that food instead of a relationship. But food represents people. We have fulfilling relationships. We have satisfying relationships. We talk about comfort food. Food and relationships are intertwined. So have some compassion for the fact that you are trying to fill a void.
I do have that compassion. Because, you know, first of all, I thought that I did something wrong to my sister and she just doesn't want to talk to me anymore. But I realized it wasn't me. She's the one who's being unhappy. And then, so I'm upset about that. And then I'm upset that I have to let go of this person that I've grown to love so much. And I have compassion that I just can't tolerate it anymore. So I do have that compassion. But the thing is I'm still eating.
Oh, well, that's because you don't yet have another way of responding to this void and these feelings that I'm sure you have about both of them. And that's where I want to teach you my VARY acronym, which is validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. Because it's not enough to recognize that you are having these painful experiences and that you feel empty and sad and mad and lonely. It's not enough to recognize it and then go, okay. No, you've got to then find a way to respond to that other than using food. So one way to respond is think about a friend of yours, another friend. If someone was sad, would you say, oh, here, eat this? You'd probably talk to them. No, of course not. You talk to them, right? So you want to learn how to talk to yourself in a different way. Validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. That's what the acronym is. So something like this. I'm going to pretend to be you, right? So I, as you, Pam, would say to myself, of course I am upset and lonely and angry and hurt. I've had to release this friendship of many years, and that's painful. It's upsetting. It's left a void. Of course I feel this way. Okay, that's the validated acknowledge.
That's validated, okay?
Yeah, and then and acknowledge it and validate it. And then they're kind of intertwined. And then you reassure yourself. Then you say...
Yeah, that I couldn't get to yet.
Let me meet people. How am I going to meet other people? You know, where can I meet other? Is there like a cancer support group that I can connect with someone there? Is there somewhere? Like, then you reassure yourself, but I have other options. I am a good, lovable, likable person. I am not a reflection of how I've been treated. All of that.
But I'm not worried about that because I know how I am. I know that I'm very compatible. I know that I can get out and, you know, meet people. I know that because I've done it my whole life, but it's just, I can't. And I think it's because I'm still doing the treatments that I can't do it as much as I want to. I'm not ready even though I want to go back to work, I'm not ready to go back to work because I'm still tired, you know, and
So validate and acknowledge what you need is something soothing. Food is comforting. You have to comfort yourself. And people think that it's comforting to go, oh, it's okay. I'll be fine. It's not bad. It's all for the best. It is what it is. Blah, blah, blah. All of that is dismissive and it makes you feel worse.
Exactly. You know, and because people will like, I have my friend, she'll say, it's okay. It's okay. I know it's okay. And I'm going to get through this, but it's just getting through it. So, you know, what I've been doing is like, because it's so high, I'll stay at home. I'll sit in my recliner. I stream my shows. That, to me, that's soothing and that's relaxing and that's taking care of me. But I still, at night, you know, it's like, oh, let's get the sesame sticks out. Let's get the popcorn. Let's get the potato chips. You know, all that crunchy stuff. Yeah. And I know that's the anger. That's the anger.
So you also have to express the anger. instead of let's get the chips and the sesame sticks and the whatever crunch, I think you need to express your anger. I'm so frustrated, annoyed, angry, furious, enraged. You know, like you have to finish the sentence. Go on page 45 of my book, The Binge Cure. I know you have it because you told me you were getting it. Go on page 45, and there are a bunch of prompts for all these different emotions. And they go from sort of minimal to not minimal, but like less intense to more intense. And you can use the prompts to express how you feel, not to the person, but for yourself. So for example, let's see, give anger a voice is the first one. I have someone on Instagram is saying, what about finding some people who have therapy dogs and can meet with Pam? Pam, I think you have dogs?
Not anymore.
Oh.
I had two of them I had to put down, and my baby I had to give to my sister and she lives in Laughlin. I had to
couldn't take care of them. I'm so sorry.
No, I didn't. I know. And then the good thing is that where I'm living now, one of them just got a pug puppy and I've been wanting to see her, but the problem is because I've been so distant from the dog that my allergies start to act up.
So maybe a therapy dog visit is in order. Maybe I'll connect the two of you. But listen, anger. So page 45, let's just finish a few sentences. Are you up for it? Pam, are you game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Okay. So the only rule here is that you cannot turn this against yourself. So you can't say, oh, I'm just aggravated with myself for eating sesame sticks. It has to be outward. It has to be about what or who you're upset with. So I'm just going to say, like, I'm going to start the prompt and you're going to finish it. So I'm aggravated
with my sister for dumping me.
I'm sorry?
For bringing up the past that she says she doesn't want to bring up the past anymore.
Okay. I'm frustrated.
Because I'm tired of these doctor's appointments. I'm tired of going back after I've been going for 9 months. I'm just tired. I'm frustrated about going back to the doctors.
I bet you are. I'm irritated.
It's hot. it's because it's hot. I hate the heat. I'm irritated because it's hot and I can't go out anywhere.
I resent.
Not taking care of myself by getting mammograms when I should have.
Ooh, that's you turning against yourself.
I resent. I can't think of anything really.
Okay, last one. I'm angry.
For everything, with everything. Everything that's been going on for the last 9 months, 9-10 months.
Wait, I lied. One more. I'm furious.
I think I'm furious with my sister because she pulled this shit on me.
Okay, so notice how you started off being irritated with your sister, or you started off whatever that first one, I didn't use all of them. You aggravated with your sister and you ended up being furious with your sister. So I'm going to suggest that you have some intense feelings towards your sister that need to be further expressed, not towards her. Cause so, you know, often when we're upset with other people, telling them isn't helpful. So,
well, I already did it, but
yeah. So
I have a temper.
Expressing this and you know, writing it down and talking about it, and you know, hey, call my show as much as you want and talk about how mad you are at your sister, so it gets it out. And I'm going to say, yeah, of course you are. She gave you, even whether she meant to or not, she gave you COVID while you were recuperating from breast cancer surgery, and now she's dumping you for no reason. Of course, yeah, you feel this way. So that, and you know, again, such a helpful person you are. Hypoallergenic dog is a great idea. And again, I really encourage you to, when you have the energy, maybe connect more with some people in the support group so that you are not so alone. So that you're not so alone.
I do Zoom on Mondays. But the last 2 weeks, I think it was because of July 4th and they were closed. And then the week before that, they had a comedy thing, and I chose the comedy thing over the support.
Okay, that's a good choice. We all need to laugh. We need some more humor. So, but you see, Pam, how there's a reason you were eating, because you feel angry.
And oh, I know why I'm eating.
And so expressing that anger rather than stuffing it is going to be really helpful.
I mean, I've been doing this my whole life, and but I know why I'm eating. I know, you know, I think we all know why we eat. I think
the next step is then to do something different, to not go away from it, but go towards it, express it, say it,
feel it.
That's another important part, is a lot of times people will say, well, I know that I'm angry. Okay. I'm angry. Well, that's not expressing your anger.
But I feel it because I eat, because I try to numb it up. You know, so I don't want to hurt, because I don't want to hurt.
But the only way out is through. It's a temporary numbing. And it doesn't make it better. It just builds and builds and builds. And so it's not enough to say, I'm mad. Go like, I am so mad. Ugh! Right. You know, like some kind of affect, you have to have some kind of feeling to it, because the only way to get rid of feelings is to actually feel them.
It's, you know, not, I have a story. When I left the bank years ago, they laid me off and he wouldn't let me collect my stuff because he, you know, I guess they don't want him to make a scene. So what I did was that he had me come in on a Saturday, and I could come into the bank and clean out my desk. I was so angry. And so, you know, people have little things on their computers and desks and everything. Yeah, I have a temper. So all of a sudden this wind came in and all the little things on the table were on the floor.
Was that Hurricane Pam?
That was really mean of me, but I was
forgive yourself and not look at your anger as destructive. And by the way, I want you to know, on Instagram, Sharon is saying she will be thinking of you this week and praying for healing and more joy in your life. And Carmel's mommy is saying that she knows many therapy dogs. So I'm going to see if I can connect the two of you on Instagram. Okay. And are you on Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay. Just.
DM me
and I'll put the two of you together and we'll see if we can get you
some
help. But in the meantime, forgive yourself for throwing people's stuff on the floor. Forgive yourself for that. And don't look at anger as destructive. It is just a reaction to a situation. And the more that you can express it with words, the better, the more it will dissipate. That's how you get rid of feelings, by actually expressing them.
Yeah, I know that. I'm aware of that. It's just, I can't. I even can't even talk to my friend because I'm just so upset. I didn't even want to call in today because I'm really upset. I'm really, really upset about all this. This is, you know, I don't need this. I just don't need this because I already feel bad about going through this chemo and breast cancer and seeing 10 million doctors. I mean, I already feel bad about that, you know, but everything else that happens in my life, I just don't need it. And I'm trying to weed out the negativity, because there's one thing that I learned is that life is precious, and you only have one time at it. You know, when I was in the hospital, when I had the blood clots, I was, you know, my friend asked me, how did you feel? And I said, I was so numb because I didn't know what was going on. I just, like, life is so precious. I knew I was going to get through all this, but it's so precious. And that's what I can't understand. What is wrong with my sister? What is up her butt? You know, I know she's going through a lot.
Pam,
with her husband, don't take that on me.
Exactly. Life is precious, and that's why you've got to treat yourself as if you are precious and express what you feel and take care of yourself and do everything that you are doing, including taking care of your emotions. And know that sometimes we have to come to the unpleasant realization that people in our lives are like empty wells. They are never going to be filled with water. And we keep going to the empty well thinking, this time there's going to be water in it. And we keep getting disappointed. And at a certain point, and I don't know if that is what's going on with you and your sister, but sometimes we have to look at a pattern and recognize you cannot go to an empty well hoping for water.
Yeah.
Other people, sister or not, you got to find other people who will fill you up emotionally.
Yeah. And I do have those people, but I can't be with them 24/7. You know, that's,
you have to be that to yourself. You have to be practice being kind to yourself. Kind to yourself. Okay, you listen, there are people who have been posting on Instagram throughout our entire conversation who don't know you, have never met you, and are kind and are being kind to you and thinking about you. You have to be the way that they are being, and they're strangers. They don't know you, yet they are showing so much kindness. I challenge you to be as kind to yourself as these people on Instagram are to you right now. Can you do it?
Yes.
Okay.
I've learned how to do that.
Practice makes progress. And please call me back and let me know how you are doing.
I will. Not next week. I'm busy. I have an infusion next week, but the week after.
Okay. Well, I'm very sorry for everything that you are going through, but you are worth it. You are precious. You will get through this. And the way people treat you does not reflect you.
No, I know that. I've learned.
Yes. Well, take good care. And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye, Pam.
All right, bye-bye.
Ay-yay-yay-yay-yay. Yeah, it's so hard sometimes to deal with disappointment with people who, you know, especially if they're related to you, who disappoint you and act in a way that is so painful and hurtful and rejecting. And that's when you know, as Pam said, life is precious, and we have to treat ourselves as if we are precious instead of abandoning ourselves, which is turning to food is a way of abandoning ourselves. Okay. Failure and success. Back to the pool party and the bikinis and the bathing suits. So I wanted to start to explore ideas about failure and success. People say, well, you know, I failed at my diet. No, dieting has failed you. So let's talk about the notion of failure. I remember a friend of mine, she had dated a ton of guys. She broke up with her boyfriend. She was super upset. And she said, none of the guys she dates ever work out. She hadn't found the one. She was a total failure at relationships. So her relationship had definitely ended, but she was not a failure. She felt like a failure, but she was not a failure. The you in failure is not spelled Y-O-U. When you personalize the failures in your life, you feel bad about yourself. You don't just feel bad. You feel bad about yourself. And then failing becomes a character flaw instead of a situation that didn't work out. And that's why it's important to remember that most successful people have built their success on the steps of failure. No, not most. All. Every single successful person has failed at some time. Michael Jordan famously said, quote, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Yes, Michael Jordan. Steve Jobs was fired from Apple, the company he helped build. And he later said that getting fired from Apple was the best thing that could have happened to him because as he put it, quote, the heaviness of being successful was replaced by the lightness of being a beginner again. Wow. And that freed him to enter one of the most creative periods of his life. And as a result, we have iPhones, we have iPads, we have MacBooks. Oprah Winfrey was fired from her job as a TV reporter. Oh, and by the way, isn't it interesting that he put it as success was heavy? So for him, heaviness had to do with expectation and lightness with possibility. Oprah Winfrey was fired from her job as a TV reporter. She was told she was unfit for television. Unfit! Oprah! Good thing she didn't let someone else's opinion of her define her abilities. Last one I have for you. For years, Thomas Edison tried to invent the light bulb. He once said, quote, I have not failed 700 times. I have succeeded in proving that those 700 ways will not work. When I have eliminated the ways that will not work, I will find the way that will work. And he did. And Carly Gash is commenting that Steve Jobs created Pixar Studio when he was fired. Yeah, I did not know that. Amazing. Yes, failure is inevitable, but it is also an opportunity. Yes, thank you. So if you've been on 700 diets and gained the same 770 or 170 or however many pounds over and over and over again and lost them over and over again, or maybe you haven't lost them, you have not failed. You just have not found the right way to lose weight. If you've been dieting to lose weight, you haven't failed at dieting. Dieting has failed you. That's because diets deal with what you're eating and not why. Diets fail to address the reasons you eat. And when you can identify and process what's going on inside, I'm talking about emotions, conflicts, states of mind that are hard to be with. You don't need food to distract you from those things. And then you don't binge, you don't emotionally eat, and then you lose weight naturally. And that's what I was talking with Pam about, like when she can express her anger, she won't need food to express her anger. When she can comfort herself, she won't need food for comfort or distraction. So the next time you find yourself heading to the kitchen or looking in the pantry or ordering something from DoorDash, ask yourself, what's going on? If you're turning to food, and not because I'm not talking about when you're hungry and you're just having breakfast, lunch, and dinner and snacks. I'm talking about when you're using food to resolve something emotional. The next time you find yourself doing that, remember, if you're turning to food, you are turning away from something else. What is it? What is it? Be curious. Be curious, not critical. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? If you weren't eating, if you weren't thinking about eating, what would you be focused on? If you weren't focused on your weight, what's weighing on you? Are you lonely? Are you turning to food instead of to people? Right? Food fills us up when we're empty. And often we're empty because we're lonely, especially we can all relate to in this last year of COVID. The loneliness, the isolation, the not being able to hug people, connect with people, have, you know, fill up on relationships, left us empty. And the successful way to deal with loneliness is to be with another person or with other people, to connect in a meaningful, fulfilling way. Notice the language, fulfilling. The words we talk about with relationship are so often the words we talk about with respect to food. And, you know, now we have so many ways of connecting with each other, even if we can't be in person. We can connect online. We can connect on this radio show. So there's a way that you can talk to someone. You can be with someone. You can meet someone. You can start a relationship. You can intensify a relationship. Maybe you're upset. If you have a hard time expressing what you feel, and when you're upset, you turn to food, you're stuffing your feelings, and then you get mad at yourself for eating. Well, if you weren't mad at yourself, if you weren't upset with yourself, who or what would be upsetting you? Successfully expressing those feelings, and again, not necessarily to the person who's upsetting you. Like I was telling Pam, probably not a good idea to confront her sister because usually that doesn't go well. But to express those feelings to someone who can listen, to me in this case, to a friend, to a journal in some way. I do think journaling is good, but it's even more important to be heard. You need a witness. You need someone to hear you, see you, get it, not just say it to yourself. Journaling is good, but sometimes it's just not enough. You know, I had a neighbor who used to tell me, troubles shared are troubles halved. Troubles shared are troubles halved. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. It is so simple and it is so true. So the next time you feel troubled, please ask yourself, who can I share this with? It will cut that feeling in half. So I'm going to leave it there and get back to this next time. I want to thank you for joining me here today on the Dr. Nina Show. I'm here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. You can also listen later on LA Talk Radio or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts. And if you would like to get to page 45 of my book and look at the prompts there and learn how to express your feelings and also identify them and find a new way of being with yourself, please feel free to get my book, The Binge Cure. It is available on Amazon. You can get it on paperback and Kindle and narrated by me as an audiobook. The Binge Cure, 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating. I am here for you. Hi, Carly Gash. And bye to everyone. I am so glad that you were here with me. Have a wonderful week. And I'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.